Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. Earlier this month, KWBU aired a story about the newly formed Creative Waco, a nonprofit seeking to establish the city as a cultural arts destination in the state. In this episode of Behind the Story, we'll hear more from the nonprofit's director, Fiona Bond. But first, here's KWBU's original story on the new arts organization. Various arts and cultural organizations from the area are coming together under the umbrella of the newly created nonprofit Creative Waco. The group will work to establish the city as a cultural arts destination in the state.
Within Texas and within the United States, there are all kinds of opportunities for organizations and for communities which bring their arts and cultural sector together under one umbrella.
That's Fiona Bond. She's the director of Creative Waco. Bond, who served on various arts organizations before, says some of the benefits of creating an arts agency and establishing Waco as a cultural arts district include streamlined marketing opportunities for the city's art institutions. Becoming an arts district can also open up the city to receive funding to help support and foster economic development and community revitalization, all through the lens of the arts. According to the Texas Commission on the Arts, there are 28 cultural districts in the Lone Star State, some of the closest to Waco being those in Clifton, Georgetown, and Fort Worth. Bond says these cities can provide templates for just how Creative Waco can operate in the area.
We're trying to establish ourselves in a similar way to what Fort Worth was able to do. Fort Worth has been incredibly successful at really championing itself as a cultural destination and having a very strong identity. We don't need to copy what they're doing, but we can set in place some infrastructural components that they have.
One major contribution to establishing the direction Creative Waco takes is Dale Fissler, Waco's current city manager. Fissler was previously the city manager in Fort Worth when it began developing its arts and cultural sector. A well-formed arts district, says Elizabeth Taylor of the Waco Convention and Visitors Bureau, is key when looking at a city's potential for growth.
That's one of the one of the keystones that you have in a mature community that's really working for a diverse approach to tourism and economic development.
Taylor says that while there has been a strong arts community in Waco for years now, it's been a bit fragmented.
What we don't have is a single place to pull all that together and say, this is what the arts mean to our community. This is what we see whenever we talk about the arts and culture in our community.
And that's just what Creative Waco hopes to change. With KWBU, I'm Carlos Morales. And now we'll hear more from Fiona Bond, Creative Waco's director. Fiona, when you first moved here, what was it like getting a sense for the arts community in the U.S., but also specifically here in Waco?
Well, actually, one of our decisions about coming to Waco was, for me at least, dependent on what the cultural landscape was like in Waco. We really wouldn't have felt able to move to Waco if it hadn't seemed like a place that had cultural riches and things that we felt we could dive into, because that's important to us. It's important to me professionally, but it is also important to us as human beings. My husband and I both love the artistic and cultural life of every city that we've lived in, and that was something we were looking for when we came to look at Waco. And I actually saw at that point the Longhorn sculptures right by the crossing, by the suspension bridge, were in the process of being installed piece by piece. There was a sculpture exhibition right the way along the riverbanks. There were, everywhere you turned in downtown Waco at that time, there were all kinds of things either being advertised or that were right there to see. And seeing that and driving through that was partly what told us as a couple that, yes, we could live in a place like this. We could live in Waco, Texas. It's not the kind of place we thought it might be. It's somewhere that has a much more vibrant and contemporary cultural scene than we had imagined. And so I'm now thankful, looking back, to all the people that made those things happen, because I know that those have a real impact on people making decisions about whether they end up living in Waco in the heart of Texas.
And now, can you tell me a little bit about Creative Waco? What were the factors and decisions that led to the creation of it?
When I first arrived here, I was introduced to a number of people at the Chamber of Commerce in Waco. And that process, I'll make the story as short as I can, that process led to the setting up of something that's now called the Waco Arts Alliance. And really, that's a networking group, a coming together of all the people who run arts and cultural organizations in Waco, who want to form community with one another and also want to develop themselves professionally, learn how to be more successful at running their organizations, and also dream dreams for Waco. What is it that we can do if we get together that no one organization can do on its own? So that process really led to a realization that within Texas and within the United States, there are all kinds of opportunities for organizations and for communities which bring their arts and cultural sector together under one umbrella. For example, at Texas state level, there is an opportunity for a community to be designated as a cultural district. And that brings all kinds of benefits in terms of marketing a community as a cultural destination, being able to champion the individual organizations, you know, things like the symphony orchestra, the festivals that we have, the theaters that we have, being able to really promote those under the banner of being a cultural district and a place that people would come to for culture. And so that realization really led us as a group of arts organizations to start asking, okay, what kind of things do we need to set up here in Waco for us to be a cultural district, for us to really enjoy the kinds of benefits that other communities that have done this kind of joined up thinking about the arts and cultural sector can have? Really, put in a nutshell, there are all kinds of sources of funding out there for communities that want to grow their arts and cultural sector, their arts and cultural organizations, and become more vibrant. But most of those pots of money need to be sifted through an organization called an arts agency. And Waco really hasn't had that kind of arts agency that could act as a distributor for state and national level funding. And so by setting ourselves up as Creative Waco, what we're doing is allowing ourselves to have that kind of infrastructural level of organization that allows us to do strategic thinking, but also to start looking at bringing in some of those sources of funding that come specifically to arts agencies so that a whole community can grow its arts and cultural sector.
What kind of benefits are there from becoming a cultural district? What comes from that designation?
A cultural district designation allows us essentially to be championed at state level as a place that people would want to come to for our arts and culture. So cultural districts in different communities, they take slightly different forms. Some are large, some are small, some are very specific. In a large city, they tend to be very small areas. Ironically, in a small city, they tend to be larger areas just because the density is deployed slightly differently in a community like Waco than it would be, for example, in Dallas. We're trying to establish ourselves in a similar way to what Fort Worth was able to do. Fort Worth has been incredibly successful at really championing itself as a cultural destination and having a very strong identity. We don't need to copy what they're doing, but we can set in place some infrastructural components that they have. One of the really helpful things I find is that Dale Fissler, who's our city manager, was the city manager of Fort Worth when it went through this process of thinking about what its arts and cultural sector should look like. And so he's a wonderful resource for us as we go through this. And really for our arts and cultural organizations, it does mean a little bit of extra funding for them. But I think the bigger benefit is that it allows us all to come together to do some joint thinking and dreaming about what it is that Waco has to offer as a cultural destination, and also what it is we can do to grow each other. Let me give you an example from a different sector. That there's always been this assumption in the arts and cultural sector that if you have many different arts and cultural organizations, symphonies, theaters, and, for example, visual arts organizations, that they're in direct competition with each other. That's not the case at all. Just as if you have a lot of restaurants gathered together in the same place, that tends to be the place that people go when they want to eat out. The same happens with the arts and cultural sector. If you have a lot going on, it means that you become the kind of community that people are more likely to come to in order to have a really interesting evening out or to sample something new culturally. And when people decide to come to a place like Waco, they don't necessarily say, oh, I'm only going to look at things that are happening downtown, or I'm only going to look at things that are happening on Baylor campus, or even I'm only going to go to sporting events. When people come to our community, they look to do all kinds of different activities. And so having a really vibrant, strong arts and cultural sector is part of making us a desirable place to live, work, play, for people to move to, for businesses to move to. Some of the people involved in Creative Waco that are most engaged in this process are business leaders. And that's because they know that in order to attract the kinds of businesses that are really going to grow our community and our economy, we need to have a vibrant cultural sector, because that's one of the components that people look for when they're looking to relocate.
So Creative Waco, then, it recognizes the existing art institutions and works in concert with them.
Yes, our mission is to grow the arts and cultural sector in Waco, and that takes many different forms. So some of that is about professional development opportunities for our arts and cultural organizations, both the for-profit and non-profit organizations. Some of it is about economic development. Some of it is about bringing things that no one organization can currently bring to Waco.
This makes me wonder, is there a stigma to overcome of Waco not having a vibrant arts and cultural scene? Is that a hurdle for Creative Waco?
It's definitely a hurdle, and I wouldn't say it was a stigma. I would say it was maybe a community lack of confidence. It's also partly an information gap. And one of the things that we as Creative Waco are trying to do is to be a signpost to some of the sources of information that are out there, because there's a huge amount culturally that's happening in Waco, and it's really good. And I think there's an assumption that because things happen in Waco, they're probably not quite as good as things that might be happening in Dallas or Fort Worth or in Austin. And that's just not the case at all. I think when you see, for example, the symphony bringing someone like Yo-Yo Ma to our community, you immediately see the opportunity that happens here when people look to Waco as a place that they can come to for cultural excellence. So that particular event sold out in record time, partly because people from Dallas and Fort Worth and Austin and Temple, all the surrounding areas, are buying tickets to an event in Waco. So the moment we can start changing perceptions and say, not only do we have a wonderful location here in Waco, we have the ideal location to really do top-notch cultural events that people from far and wide will want to come and see. The moment we start telling that message, not only to people outside Waco, but also to people within Waco, I think we change perceptions about what's possible, but also what's normal in our community. We have some really great arts and cultural organizations that already operate here and are ambitious about what they could do. But one of the biggest things, one of the biggest hurdles that they face is the fact that people, when they're looking for real excellence in arts and culture, tend to look first to the larger communities outside Waco. And they tend to take their dollars to those communities too. If we as a community were committed, just as we are with the local food movement, if we were able to be similarly committed with our arts and culture and say, look to Waco first. If you want to buy a piece of fantastic art, buy it from a Waco-based artist. We want to encourage artists to live and work in Waco. We have fantastic artists. Look to them first. Look to our local galleries. Look to our local symphony. Look to our theaters and our performance groups here in Waco. There's all kinds of really great stuff going on. You can find out about it very easily. If you go onto our website with Creative Waco, there's actually a page that shows you all the different calendar sites that will tell you the specific information that you are looking for when you want to go out for a really cool night out here in Waco. We're also in the process of forming a cultural directory, which will tell people where they can buy great art, where they can, how they can find people to commission for work for their homes and offices, so that before looking outside our community, they can look into this community and support artists, creative people, businesses that are right here in Waco that are really trying to make it, and that have great ideas and could really go places with local support.
And now, what are the organization's next steps?
Our first task is to put together an application for our cultural district status. And that application, the first letter of proposal goes in January. So right now we're working with our arts and cultural organizations and our civic organizations and our different community groups. We've got a task force that is specifically working on putting that application together. So that becomes a great jumping off point for everything else that we want to do. And because the process is pretty prescriptive about what we have to do and when in order to be successful, that really gives us a great baseline for everything else that we want to do as an organization. So although that's pretty specific in terms of putting together the nuts and bolts of what a cultural district would look like here in Waco and what it already is, because actually part of our story is what we already have, that also then allows us to put together the strategy that then allows us to grow our arts and cultural sector more widely.
And what do we already have?
You know, I think Waco is full of people who are intelligent, thoughtful, independent-minded, and who really love things that are culturally interesting, maybe even quirky. I think Waco does quirky quite well, or distinctive, maybe even idiosyncratic. And we have a lot of things going on in our community that I think don't go on in other places. Or if they do, maybe they've become more jaded. Waco is a very authentic kind of place. And so there are a lot of experimental, interesting, small-scale things that happen in Waco that probably would be very difficult to get support for or even to experiment with in other larger cities or communities. And they get real ground swell of support here in Waco. Often when they start becoming successful, they then go elsewhere. So one of our challenges as a community is to keep those really good things. One example is in theater. Right now we have the Civic Theater, which is doing some incredible work. We also have the Jubilee Theater, which is doing great work in terms of issue-based drama and experimental writing. Of course, we have a lot going on with Baylor and MCC and TSTC in terms of drama and performance. And then that's also complemented by what we have with the refurbished Hippodrome, which provides an opportunity for some of these groups to come in and do performances downtown. And then we also have the Cast, which is providing opportunities and classes for people to do stand-up and improv and to experiment in that way. So there are lots of opportunities for people to engage with just the art form of theater in different forms in Waco. And there are even, I think we now have 4 different groups, maybe 5, offering children's classes, children's theater companies. We have Waco Children's Theater, we have Christian Youth Theater, Waco Civic Theater, Jubilee Theater. They're all doing children's programs. And as well as Waco ISD is running summer camps now for kids in theater. So there's a lot of opportunity for people of all ages, backgrounds to engage with theater as performers or to go and see theater, which is experimental, excellent quality, really right across the board in terms of different styles.
I want to step back a bit and go a little broader. How important do you think the arts are to a city's identity?
I think the arts and cultural sector is really essential to a community's identity. We've become very good in Western culture at creating identikit cities that look very similar from the I-35, for example. As you drive past one city, you know, that hinterland can look very similar from one city to the next. The cultural sector is what really gives a city, its beating heart, its reason to engage, its opportunities for being part of the community, for bringing people together that wouldn't necessarily come together. You know, when you look at the statistics, the metrics on these things, communities that have a vibrant arts and cultural scene perform better in all kinds of metrics. Those are the cities that do better in terms of educational outcomes, in economic development, in recruiting new companies, even in things like crime reduction. And it shouldn't really be surprising to us that the communities that do arts and culture well are the communities that do those other things well, because those communities are places that create a very distinctive identity. So people who live in those cities tend, even if they're not interested in the arts, they tend to have a better sense of what's special about their community, what it does better than anywhere else, what it is that they can be proud of about that community, and also what its personality is like. Really, I sometimes describe the arts and culture as being the way that a community describes its personality or exhibits its personality. Just like the clothes that we wear, they're not ultimately that important, but they do tell the rest of the world something about us, our values, who we are. And it's the same with our arts and cultural sector. The way that people engage with those things in our community say something about who we are as a community, what kind of values we have, who is welcome in our community. And those things are important. And those things are really important in attracting people to our community, whether they're visiting or whether they intend to live here. But they're also really important in terms of engaging the people who are already living and working here, including them, giving them an opportunity to have their voice or just have a great time. If people have a great time in our city, on a very practical level, that's dollars for our city that are not going elsewhere, that are able to be reinvested in growing Waco, growing our community. So we should do that well, because that's a reason for people to be investing in the growth of our community.
Fiona, how would you describe Creative Waco?
Creative Waco is the organization which brings together our civic organizations and our arts and cultural organizations in order to do joined up thinking strategy, if you like, for our arts and cultural sector. That allows us to do a number of different things that Waco hasn't been able to do before. The first is, for example, applying for Waco to be a cultural district. And just in, you know, further into the future, it allows us to access funding that can only come to an arts agency, an organization that exists to do that kind of strategic component for the arts. And if we don't have an organization like this, it means we can't get those sources of funding at state level, national level, but also from trusts and foundations, and also from some corporate sources to grow our arts and cultural sector in a kind of coherent way. So it's basically putting a layer of infrastructure into our arts and cultural sector that hasn't really been there before to quite this extent. It's the way that other cities do this. It's the way that Fort Worth, for example, was able to grow its arts and cultural sector. It allows us to do all kinds of things that no one arts organization can do or any one civic organization can do. It's similar to what Prosper Waco is able to do with the nonprofit sector, but we work with both for-profit and nonprofit arts and cultural organizations. And our ambition, our goal, our mission is to grow Waco's arts and cultural sector, to grow the arts and cultural life of this city, which is to everyone's benefit. Even people who don't think that they're interested in the arts benefit when our community thrives and is able to do really great art and culture, when it's vibrant, the kind of place that people want to come to.
It seems that through the arts, Creative Waco is an exercise in community building. So how can others contribute to that?
There are a number of ways that I would want to encourage people to engage with Creative Waco, because we exist for our community to be able to grow its own arts and cultural sector. This isn't about me having a great ideas about how to do this. This is about our community saying what it wants. So we have a website, www.creativewaco.org. And on that website, there's an opportunity for people to sign up, volunteer, get information, They can weigh in terms of giving their opinion of what they think we already have in Waco, that it's great, you know, great cultural experiences that they enjoy here already, what they love about other communities, and also, you know, ways they think that we can develop as a community. So I would love for people to participate in that questionnaire. That will go directly towards our cultural district application. So please take part in that. But the other things that people can do are tell the world how great experiences you've had in Waco are. So go on to TripAdvisor, go on to Yelp, describe great restaurants, great performances, great arts, arts organizations that you've engaged with here in Waco, great theatrical experiences, all that kind of thing. Review those so that people outside our community as well as inside our community know what we do well. And look to Waco first. Buy great art in Waco. Go to the theater, go to performances in Waco. Rather than buying that season ticket outside our community, make sure that you're looking to Waco first so that the investment that we put into the arts and culture is being reinvested into growing our own arts and cultural sector right here in Waco.
I think that'd be a good...
Fiona, that's pretty much it for my questions, but is there anything else you'd like to add about Creative Waco?
One of the real advantages with putting together a cultural district application is that it forces us as a community to describe who we are and what we do well. And we've invited people to come onto our website, fill in a three-question questionnaire. It's a really simple one, and I would invite anyone listening to this to go on to www.creativewaco.org and go to the page that allows you to engage with this process and fill in that three-question questionnaire, because this really helps us to describe what we think Waco's cultural personality is. What's emerging, I think this is really fascinating, is that the things that people love about Waco's culture and the things that really give us a history and a future are all clustered around the fact that Waco is this strategic crossing of the Brazos River. Just like I like to say that just like Rome and Paris and London were formed on these strategic crossings of rivers, so is Waco. And that gives us a very unique cultural profile. It means that historically we brought together all these different cultural influences, you know, the culture of the South, the Deep South, meeting with the conquistador culture from even further south, from Mexico, and the Wild West culture, obviously from the West and driving the cattle, with the industrial culture of the North. Those all kind of collided in Waco in a very unique and interesting way. And that strategic crossing of the river means that we have this great hub of infrastructure, roads and rail links kind of collide in Waco. But it also provides a platform for our future too. This is why we have organizations like Baylor University located in Waco, but it's also why we have high-tech industry like SpaceX in this area. That, it seems to me, is our history and our future, but it's also where our cultural identity lies. And that's really intriguing, because what do you do in a contemporary setting with a strategic location that's a crossing of the river? I think it presents us with all kinds of opportunities and reasons for doing interesting and unusual things.
That was Fiona Bond, the director for the nonprofit Creative Waco. To hear this episode and previous ones of Behind the Story, visit our website at kwbu.org.